that the Hebrew word behind statute forever is chukat, that's statute, olam. Chukat olam. Chukat olam. It describes a commandment that will never be revoked, sort of. Chukat olam would be, actually, another way of saying that would be a statute of the world, which I would say pertains to olam hazeh. In its clearest possible, it's the clearest possible way of saying this commandment will be enforced forever as long as this world endures. Chukat olam. Exodus 29:9 explicitly states the priesthood belongs to Aaron and his sons in perpetuity, from generation to generation. And so even to this modern day, the descendants of Aaron generally know who they are. The priesthood belongs to them. Even though the priesthood isn't up and running right now, it still belongs to them and will always belong to them. However, the book of Hebrews speaks of a change of this priesthood. Let's take a look. We already saw this passage. When there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. What's he saying? He's saying, well, Messiah is not a descendant of Aaron, so we had to change the priesthood. Right? So that begs the question, has that particular chukat olam been revoked? Hebrews chapters 7 through 11 seem to revoke the Aaronic priesthood and topple the Torah in one swift stroke. The priesthood has changed, and along with that comes a change of the Torah. But there's a conflict because the Torah is eternal and unchanging. It says so in the Bible. And the eternal unchanging Torah says that the priesthood will belong to Aaron and his sons forever. So here's the temptation to throw the book of Hebrews out. If it were possible for the Torah to be changed and the priesthood to be revoked, the writer of the book of Hebrews wouldn't have had to do Hebrews 7 through 11. He could have just said, the sons of Aaron aren't priests anymore, and the Messiah is a true priest now. He didn't. Because he couldn't. Because he recognized that such a position would be illegitimate and heretical. So instead, the way he presents this material, if we look at it carefully, the answer to the conflict lies in a carefully structured argument in those chapters of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews, if we don't have time, this is where it'd be nice to like, now let's sit and like read through these passages. But here's what he does. The writer of Hebrews never claims that the Messiah replaces the Aaronic priesthood. He never says that. He never says that Messiah is an Aaronic priest. Instead, he deliberately points out that he's not. And in so doing, he validates the ongoing role of the sons of Aaron. Look at this passage, Hebrews 7:14. For it is evident that our master was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Sometimes I hear nonsense like, well, you know, David, he was a priest, he served as a priest, so the Davidic dynasty, you know, they're actually secret priests. That contradicts Hebrews 7:14. What he says there is he has no right to be a priest. Yeshua, as a descendant of David, as a member of the tribe of Judah, has no right to serve in the priesthood. Here, even more explicit. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So, according to the book of Hebrews, the Aaronic priesthood is legitimate. This is assumed here, okay? The Aaronic priesthood is legitimate, and their claim to the priesthood is not overridden by Messiah. And in fact, if Messiah were on earth, which he was, and while he wasn't a priest. If he were on earth now, he would not be a priest because it's not in his pedigree. He's not descended from Aaron. And the priesthood belongs to the sons of Aaron. It's theirs by an eternal statute. And it's this eternal statute of Exodus 29:9, I think, that we're referring to in this Hebrews commandment, or Hebrews passage 7:18, where it says, on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the Torah made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. This is what we're talking about. It sounds as if the writer of the Hebrews is saying the Torah is weak and useless. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the Aaronic priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood, who owns that title of priest, that, hey, they have the priesthood forever. Well, that's weak and useless. Because they are weak and useless inasmuch as their ministry does not offer eternal atonement or passage to the world to come, which is what the subject is. The Aaronic priesthood, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, they're weak and useless to get you a place in the resurrection. It's not their job. It's not their job. It's like saying, as far as changing a light bulb goes, a hammer is useless. Does that mean that hammers are always useless? In every situation, hammers are useless. No, not at all. But as far as changing a light bulb goes, maybe something else would be more effective than a hammer. He says, for the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the Torah, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The oath is Psalm 110. So the Aaronic priesthood is weak and useless when it comes to the task of ushering us into the world to come because they are merely mortal men themselves. And as an Aaronic priest must offer sacrifice, it says in Hebrews 7:27, for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. So he himself is a sinful person, in other words. So we learn two things here. On the one hand, the Aaronic priesthood is irrevocable. On the other hand, the Aaronic priesthood is unable to bring perfection. In that regard, in regard to bringing perfection, in other words, salvation, put it in our language, it's weak and useless. Nobody was saved through the Aaronic priesthood. The writer of the book of Hebrews wants us to understand that the priesthood in which Yeshua serves, that he's describing for us, is not the Aaronic priesthood at all. And by virtue of being a son of David, he's not qualified for it. He's not qualified to be a priest. Instead, he is a priest, and he says he's a priest in the order of Melchizedek. If it were possible for Yeshua to come and simply kick over the eternal statute of Exodus 29:9 and declare himself the new Aaronic priesthood, this entire Melchizedek argument, this entire, like, well, he's not from the Aaronic priesthood, he's actually, Psalm 110 says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, that's all superfluous. Superfluous. It's all unnecessary. That's all an unnecessary argument if Messiah simply comes and replaces the Aaronic priesthood. You understand? Okay, good.